morning about learning to love people who are afraid. Because that's just like the evening news, isn't it? All you have to do is just turn on the TV around 5 or 6 o'clock and you see those images just coming at you nonstop, one after the other. That doesn't even add in all those things that have an impact on us during our everyday life. You know, we have a visit to the doctor and we get some bad news. We have, you know, a call from the bank and we get some bad news. It doesn't, you know, or we go to work and our boss says something and we just live sometimes in fear. As a matter of fact, on Friday, I discovered there are other things to be afraid about that I never even imagined. I was reviewing that video in preparation to finish my sermon and someone came in the office. I won't mention their name, Sandy Skelton. And they told me that I needed to be afraid that I might lock myself in my chicken coop and not be able to get out. I mean, go figure out how you do that. I don't know. But she did. And she couldn't get out. But she said she MacGyvered it, and she's here safe and sound. So, Sandy, I'm so glad you're here. And you're not there with the rest of the chickens. You know, because there for a while it was a little sketchy, she said. It took her about 15 or 20 minutes to get out of the chicken coop. You know, and that was a fear that I'd never had. There's never been a time in my life when I was afraid I was going to lock myself in my chicken coop and be unable to get out. But now I have to add that to my list. Okay, so how do you... I'm going to pay for that one, I tell you what. A lot. Yeah, I shouldn't pick on a lady that does my taxes, should I? Oh, that's... I can kiss that refund next year goodbye. It's gone. Absolutely gone. This fear that we deal with in our life is so common that God has addressed it over and over and over again. In fact, this issue of fear in all of its different kinds of forms is addressed. There's 365 times in the Bible where God said to us, "Fear not." That's one for every day. We've got all that we need to get through the week. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look with you at this issue of fear and this issue of how do we help not ourselves only when we are struggling with stuff that is going on in our life, but how do we help those who are afraid? Because you see Jesus dealing in the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning with some people who are struggling with some circumstances in their life. They've gotten themselves in a situation that has caused them to be afraid. And Jesus steps into that literally and helps them walk through it. And so I want you to process with me as we walk through this issue. Not only how can he help you, how can he help me in those times when I'm afraid, but what can we offer to those around us? Because at work, at school, in our neighborhood, at home, in our families, there are people all around us who are struggling with all different kinds of fear. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16, and it's a kind of a smaller passage if you're following along in the Bible there in the chair at page 755. But I've also put a corollary passage from Matthew 14. So, you know, you may want to put a marker on one of those and another piece of paper on the other so you can kind of flip back and forth between them. And there's a third gospel that we're going to look at, same story, told from three different viewpoints in Mark chapter 6 as well. So just one reference in there. Because see, here's something that you need to understand about studying your Bible. Whenever you read a passage like that, particularly in the gospels, one of the things that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go and look at the other gospel passages where that story is told. Because you can put them together and it gives you a more complete and comprehensive understanding of what happened rather than just seeing it from one set of eyes. Okay? So sometimes you want to take a look at both of them. For time's sake, I'm only going to read John, but then I'll reference the other two along the way. This takes place immediately after the story we looked at last week, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Okay? So this is the next thing right up in his ministry. It says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 miles or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. and they were terrified. But he said to them, it's I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. And then some boats near from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to read the first couple of verses over from John chapter 14, that same story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the water, walked on the boat, and came toward Jesus. And you know the story. As he began to walk towards the water on Jesus, he was doing really well. But then the scripture says that he saw the wind and the waves, which means that he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out, took his hand and rescued him from the wind and from the waves. A couple of things that I want to kind of process with you this morning as we think about those times in our life where we or someone around us is struggling with fear. Number one, fear is common to us all. God allows it. Now, I want you to look at that last piece. Sometimes he plants it. Sometimes he plants it. The disciples are afraid of the wind and the waves. They think they've seen a ghost. You have to admit, if you're out there in the middle of a storm, I don't know if you've ever been in a bad storm in a boat. I've been there one time. Never want to go again. It was terrifying. You don't realize how big the ocean is until you are in the middle of an awful storm, and then you're thinking, "Man, I want to be out of here." And when you got, by the way, when you're in a storm with a group of fishermen in a boat and they're afraid, that tells you it's not a good place to be. Peter's afraid when he loses his focus on Jesus and he starts seeing the wind and the waves. Here's what I want you to pay attention, though, to. Both the disciples that were in the boat and Peter, when he was in the water, both of them were there because they did what Jesus told them to do. You catch that? In the John passage, the scripture says it this way. If you go back and look at the original language, it says he compelled them to get into the boat and leave after the feeding of the 5,000. He made them get in there. I think, with a little holy imagination, that all the fishermen in the group are standing there and they're looking at Jesus and he's like, get in the boat and go to the other side. They're like, do you see this guy? And pastor, do you know what's going on here? I know you're not a fisherman here, but we are. And you know what's getting ready to happen out there? I don't want to go out there. I think we should stay right here. He's like, it'll be okay. Just get in the boat and go on over. Exactly the same thing with Peter. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Peter is in the water. He asked permission. He asked for validation. He checked to make sure it was going to be okay before he got out of that boat. Right? If it's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus was like, come on. Peter said, I'm in. And he was. And he was doing great until he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, sometimes God allows those times to take place in our life because he wants to teach us something. He wants to teach us to trust him in the face of adversity. It's kind of like a coach that's willing to make us struggle in practice in order to get better. When I was a senior in high school, they started a wrestling team in my high school. And I thought that I was going to be able to body slam people and drop kick them. Because I've been watching WWA for like years. You know? So when I signed up, I thought I got to body slam people. I thought I was going to be able to drop kick people. I go out there and my coach is like, no. I said, well, then what are we going to do? He said, well, our mat isn't in yet. We've ordered it. And so here's what we're going to do. Let's start running. And for like a month, all we did was run. Finally, I told him, I said, Coach, I haven't seen the mat yet. I said, but I understand there's a circle on it. There's only so far that they can run. We can't need to run this much. And then the mat came in, and I got on the mat, and I wrestled for like a couple of minutes. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've never been so tired in my life. Now I understood why. He knew more than I knew. He was teaching me something. I didn't get it. I didn't want to get it. I wanted to drop kick. I didn't want to run. And that's what God is doing with us. He's teaching us in the middle of adversity. That's why I said sometimes He plans it for us, because He knows there's an area in our life that we need to learn how to trust Him just a little bit more. And the problem is, we're just like the disciples. We so quickly and easily forget the lesson of how powerful He is and how much He loves us. It's really interesting. I didn't read it for you this morning for time's sake. But if you go over to the Gospel of Mark, which is the corollary passage, the closing comment that Mark makes about this whole event is this. He says, because they had forgotten about the loaves and the fish. See, what happens is there's the story of the feeding of the 5,000 where they've seen Him move in incredible power on behalf of people who are in need. And then they go, it says, if you look at the other two Gospels, immediately He took them and He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. He forced them into the boat. They start to the other side. The wind comes, the wave comes. Peter goes out into the wave. Jesus saves them. And then the boat says, after Jesus goes in the boat with them, it's immediately taken to the other side. And then it says, and this happened because they had forgotten. How many times have you had God move on your behalf, do some amazing thing for you, and then the next week, something else comes, and you throw your hands in the air and you run in circles because you forgot how much He loves you? See, He's teaching them, and He's teaching us when those times come that He's there. The Scripture says that they had forgotten the miracle of the bread. And you go back and you look at the original language, and it says that, here's what it says, they never put the pieces together. Never occurred to them that He loved those strangers so much, 10 or 15,000 of them, that He would feed them. Why in the world would He ever let His friends, His disciples, go down in the water and drown? You see, fear blinds us. Like Peter. As long as he's got his eyes set on Jesus, he's okay. But as soon as he sees the wind and the waves, he starts to go down. Fear blinds us, but keeping our eyes on Jesus opens us to the possibility that He can and will move on our behalf. Fear is common to us all. God allows it. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes He plans it so He can grow you, strengthen you, develop you, make you more like His Son Jesus. Secondly, Jesus prays for us when we're going through tough times and are afraid. We don't have to feel like we are alone. Now, it's not here in the John account, but if you go back and you read the Matthew account and you read the Mark account, it tells us very clearly why Jesus wasn't with them in the boat. He put them in the boat and He said, you guys go to the other side. And then John and Matthew say the same thing. Jesus went up on the mountainside to pray. If you keep on reading the story, he's looking out and he's watching them. He's seeing them. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But Jesus is up on the mountainside to pray, and he sees what's going on. When Darlene and I were in Israel last year, we went to a number of places where this is very, very easy to picture. Because of the shape of the land and how mountainous it is, you could be up on the side of the mountain, you'd be looking out over the Sea of Galilee. You could see a boat out there, no problem at all. Now, it was dark, and there was a storm coming, but he, I think, could still see what was going on. Jesus is up on the mountainside, and they're having trouble with the storm in the boat. What do you think he's doing? He's praying for them. The scripture says he saw that they were distressed in rowing. Literally, they were in pain. They were in torment, the word means. They were toiling with everything that they had. And when we are going through those times, here's what Romans tells us Jesus is doing. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. He is the word interceding. He's the go-between. He's the one who stands between God and man. He's the one who is the advocate on your behalf. So when you are going through those tough times, it might feel like you are alone. But you aren't, because he's praying for you. He sees what's going on. He's there. He's waiting for exactly the right time to step in and intervene. And he's also waiting for us to do what the disciples did. Call out to him for help. So when you're in the middle of that storm, just continue to remember, you're not alone. He's there. He is whispering in God's ear on your behalf. Strengthen her. Open her eyes to see the possibility. Show her the right path, Father. Help her get through this. He's praying for you, interceding for you with the Father. That's what it means, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, whispering in his ear, asking God to bless you and sustain you and encourage you and strengthen you and walk you through to the other side. You see, Jesus sees us even in our worst situation. When we're in the middle of the storm, whatever kind of storm it is, it feels to us just like it felt to the men in the boat. Where's Jesus? I mean, I could hear the conversation already. I believe Peter was probably the first one out. Where's Jesus? You know, he made us get in this boat. I didn't want to get here in the boat anyway. I told him the storm was coming. I told him that it was going to be a bad thing. I told him I didn't want to do it. But he made me get here, and he put me here, and now I'm here all by myself, and I want to know where he's at. I know you have never seen anything like that, have you? Sure we have. Lord, where are you? You told me to come here. You told me to do this, and now I'm looking up, and I don't see you anywhere. But he sees you. That's how we feel, but that feeling isn't real. He sees us just as surely as he saw them. They didn't know he was watching, but they should have. I mean, they've already heard the sermon. Why do you worry, he told them at the Sermon on the Mount. Not a single sparrow falls from the sky, but that your Father sees it. He has every hair on your head numbered. Now for some, Brother Al, it's a little bit easier than for others. I'm catching up with you. Why are you worrying? He said. Why do you worry? Don't you know that he loves you more than he loves the sparrows? And if he's paying attention to their life, don't you know he's doing the same thing with yours? Don't worry about tomorrow, he said. Just trust him. Your Father knows what you need, and he's going to make sure that every single need is met. Now, he didn't promise us our wants, He did promise us our needs. We need to learn to trust that God is paying attention. Warren Wiersbe, an awesome, awesome pastor. He's a great scholar and theologian. He's one of the few that is both a scholar and theologian and an incredible pastor, preacher. He marries them both. He is fantastic. He said it this way. He says, when God's children go through the fire, he keeps his eye on the flame and his hand on the thermostat. Reference back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't put you in there, let you burn up. He's cooking you just right. Sometimes it's a little painful along the way, granted. But when you come through the fire, Job says, you will come out shining like gold. He's going to make you into what he wants you to be. You can't get there from here without a little bit of heat. And the other thing I want you to see here is Jesus comes to us in the storm. It's a very interesting thing to note. All the accounts emphasize different elements of the story. Can you imagine telling the story like John did and not including the fact that Peter got out and walked on the water? I mean, if I'm telling the story, that part's going to be in the story. Even if I'm mad with Peter, I'm like, you should have seen him. He was going to drown. He was going down. Yeah, he was. How could you tell a story and not talk about that? Some of them don't talk about the fact. I can see why they go, well, we're not going to include the part where we didn't remember about the loaves and the fish because that makes us look bad. We'll leave that detail out. But there's something that all three include. When they were in the middle of the storm, and it says it almost exactly the same way, Jesus came to them. That's the point of the story. That's why it's there in all three of them. He's going to be there. He's always going to be there. Now, our fear that we are alone is a real fear. Our fear of us being abandoned is a real fear. A lot of us have it, but it is not a realistic fear for those who know Jesus. In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says it this way. It says, he came by and it looked as if he was going to pass them by. Now, picture this. You're out in the water. And the waves are tossing. The wind is blowing. You see this thing that you think is a ghost. And it freaks you out. And then Jesus says to you, don't worry, it's just me. And he keeps on walking. Like, say what? Hey, come back. Now see, I believe it's the same thing that happened there with the loaves and the fish. He already knew what he was going to do with the loaves and the fish. He was just teaching them. He's stretching their faith a little bit. He knows that he's going to come back, but he's teaching them, and by proxy, he's teaching you and I something that we need to know. When you're in the middle of that thing, you call out to him for help. He's right there. He said it over and over and over again. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It's a promise to Moses. It was a promise to Joshua. It's a promise that he's made over and over and over in the Scripture. But you would be surprised how many times whenever I talk with someone about an issue going on in their life, I've learned to ask this question. And it's not a rhetorical question, and it's not a gotcha question, but it's a question that needs to be asked sometimes because, like you, sometimes I forget to do it. Have you prayed about it yet? Have you asked Jesus to help? Because a lot of times we don't do that. And he's teaching them. He's teaching you and I here. I'm right here. I'm right here. You just need to call out to me. You just need to pray. You need to ask. Don't ask me why he structures it that way. But I'm telling you it's the truth. There may be many times in your life when this awful thing has been happening and Jesus is just standing there on the sideline going, would you please just ask me for help. See, he's teaching us to understand how dependent upon him we are, how much we need him in our life. And it's amazing to me. You know, I've been to, you know, situations where I'm trying to make a decision. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine on Friday. He called me to ask me my opinion on a big deal that was going on in his life and in his church. And we were talking, and I'm like, Drew? Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that name. I'm like, clarity on somebody else's problems is really easy for me. Right? I'm looking at somebody else. I'm like, this is just what you need to do. But then when it's my problem, I'm like, what should I do? We will ask everybody around us for input. And then when we finally got nowhere else to go, we finally go and pray. You know what? Why don't we start there instead of finish there? That's what Jesus is teaching us here. The Lord is near to all who call on them. He will come to us when we call just as surely as he came to them. And he holds on to us in the storm. Peter is going down for the count. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, the scripture says, and he caught Peter up and he pulled him up. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, Hebrews says. If we learn to trust him and not give in to our fears, but instead hold on to him, then we will always find him faithful. See, here's the reality. It's when we are in the storm many times that we feel the closest to him. We find him in those places and we come to know him in those places in ways that we've never found or known him before. There's always a reason why God allows us to go through those trying times. He's not just torturing us with a magnifying glass like we do the ants when we're little kids. Well, let's see what happens now. It's not what God does. There's a point, there's a purpose, there's a reason why he allows that in our life. There's something that he wants to accomplish. Daniel heard him and found him in the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the fiery furnace, as did Moses and Joshua in the desert. And they found him and they met him in ways there that they never found or met him anywhere else. When we call out to him in those times of need and he answers, it's the most amazing experience. Just think for a moment. What would it have been like to be Peter when Jesus caught him by the hand and lifted him up and started walking him back to the boat? I'd have been like, can we make another lap before we get in? Because this is awesome. I want to walk around a little bit out here in the water, Jesus, before we get back in the boat. Has there been that experience in your life where you have called out to him and he answered so clearly, so completely? You knew it was God's voice. You knew it was God's touch. You knew it was God's hand. If that's never happened for you, then I want to challenge you. The next time you get into that situation and the next time you get into that fear, start with prayer. Start with reaching out to him. Start with calling out to him. Because you see, Jesus walks with us through the storm. And when they got up out of the boat, Peter did, goes to Jesus. Jesus catches him by the hand. He walks to him through that situation, through that circumstance. You see, everything was overwhelming for Peter. He was terrified until he had Jesus' hand. And once he had that hand, once he had that touch, once he had that assurance, those things that were terrifying to him just faded into the background. Because now Jesus is here. And it's going to be okay. Once he's got our hand, once we know that he's there, whatever trial, whatever wind, whatever wave, because you see, the wind was still blowing at this point. The waves were still crashing at this point. The sea was just as deep. The water was just as cold. There's only one difference. Jesus holding on to his hand. That makes it all okay. I'm not alone in this. There's somebody here that can do something about this. And I can trust him. Because he takes care of people that don't even know him. Like he fed those thousands of hungry people there in the desert. If he's going to take care of them, I know he's going to take care of me. He loves me and I know him. I'm his child. Jesus speaks to us and he calms our fears. He said it to the disciples in the boat, "Don't worry, it's me." He spoke to Peter in the water, "Oh, you have a little faith." I can almost hear him say, "Didn't you see me with the bread and with the fish? Haven't you seen the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear? You saw the lepers cleansed. And not a single one of them was my disciple. None of them were my friends. How could you ever think that I would not be here for you? Oh, you of little faith." We have to train ourselves to hear his voice. And we train ourselves to hear his voice in the calm times. Listen to me. We train ourselves to hear his voice in the calm times. That's why we're in our devotions. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we're in our study group. That's why we're in our small group. That's why we come to worship. That's why we're in church. That's why we do all that stuff when there's nothing going on. Because when something is going on, you better believe you're going to need to hear his voice. And once you've heard it over and over and over and over again in the calm times, you can hear it and distinguish it when the wind's blowing and the sea's crashing and you think you're going down. It's that, I call it spiritual muscle memory. You know what muscle memory is? Muscle memory is what the athletes train themselves over. That's why they practice. They practice over and over and over again to get it right in practice so that when they're in the competition, they just automatically, their body automatically responds in the correct way because it's ingrained. You've trained yourself that way. That's why we come to worship on the Sunday when nothing's happened. When everything isn't falling apart. When life is just being life and we're just doing what we're doing because we're training ourselves for the big competition. For when Jesus says, "Hey, you, get in the boat." And you're like, "I don't want to get in the boat." He's like, "Yeah, get in the boat." You get in the boat and you're like, "I don't want to be in the boat." He's like, "That's okay. Come with me." It's hard. When Peter and Jesus climbed into the boat, the scripture says the wind died down. And then Jesus takes us through the storm safely to the other side. Once they knew it was him and they saw him take Peter's hand and pull him back up out of the water, said they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. I've heard hundreds of people say it as recently as this past week. "I can't take it. I don't know what I'm going to do to get through this. It's bigger than I am. I'm depressed. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I just want to quit." None of us are immune. We all have times like that in our life when the struggle seems to be more than we can bear. But see, if we've been doing our due diligence along the way, we've trained ourselves towards godliness the way the Hebrews talks about it. If we stay faithful, if we stand strong, if we hold on to him and we trust him, if we remember the loaves and the fish, we remember all the different times that he has interceded on our behalf, all the different ways that he has been there. I've been doing it for 40 years now. Never let me down. Ever. Sometimes it took me a while to understand what he was doing. Okay? I get that. He doesn't think the way that I think. He's more interested in my character than in my comfort. So he's working on that. I'm more interested in my comfort. You see, the reality is this. Jesus, when he got back in the boat with them, he carried them immediately to the other side. Now, sometimes he does that for us, and there's a big discussion about this. Some of the interpreters of the Bible will say, well, it was another miracle. He got in the boat, and immediately they were like, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Boom, boom, they're there. A lot of people go, no, he didn't do that. A lot of people go, it just seemed like they were there that fast. Because once Jesus is there, it's all okay. We're fine. I don't know which one of you prefer. You take your choice, I'll take mine. I'm on the, he took us immediately to the other side. But I've experienced it both ways in my life. He walked on the water. He helped Peter walk on the water. He calmed the sea. He called the wind. And then he took them to the other side. Now, he does that in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's slow. But he always does it. A couple years ago, I was going through a tough time myself. I walked into my office one day, and there was a sticky note on my desk. It took me a while to figure out who put it there. As a matter of fact, if you go up in my office, it's still up there by my computer. It's been up there for 3 years. Here's what it says. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. But God will use this mess for good. Don't be foolish or naive. But don't despair either. With God's help, you'll get through this. It's a quote from Max Lucado. As a matter of fact, I learned that lesson so well. There was someone else who spoke into my life at that point. And they said to me, give it a year. Everything will look different. I've dispensed that wisdom. It's not my wisdom. It came from someone else, to other people. Someone this morning said to me, you told me a year ago, give it a year. It's been a year. Life is different. Some things are fast. Some things are slow. But God will get us through all of it. Psalm 91 says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. That was the second sticky note that was right beside the first. Fear is common to us all. It can be as simple as the chicken coop, as scary as the storm raging around us. It can be the finances, it can be the doctor, it can be all different kinds of things. But we have to be prepared. What we don't have to do is we don't have to fear. Because we're not alone. If we will learn to walk with him and trust him and lean into him, he will walk with us through to the other side. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Don't be afraid of the wind and the waves. If you slip a little bit and start to go down, he'll take care of you. Call on him for yourself, for others. Meet Jesus where he is. He was out in the water. Don't let the opportunity pass you by to call out to him. We're going to celebrate communion together this morning. I asked Pastor Dave if he would to come and lead us during that time of commitment. So I want to challenge you as we sing, as the elements are prepared to be delivered. I'm going to ask the deacons if they would to come on down and be ready. To take this few moments of preparation to get your heart right. Maybe there's an issue in your life that you need to call out to him about. Maybe there's a fear that you've been living with. I don't know what it is, but I promise you he does. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call out to Him and allow Him to speak to your heart and calm those fears and hold your hand and walk you through to the other side. Pastor Dave.